Looking for work, better pay, better work environment? We can help. Call Kelly Jobs today at 502-425-7131 to speak with a recruiter today. Score a better job with us. Call 502-425-7131 or visit kellyjobs.com. That's kellyjobs.com.
Tired of jumping from job to job? How about a career in a recession-proof industry where you can make a difference and help create a healthier living and working environment? The pest management industry gives you the opportunity to work with more independence. OPC Pest Services will give you a chance to grow with advancement. Come be a part of our team at OPC Pest Services. Apply online at opcpest.com/careers. That's opcpest.com/careers.
Time now for The Take with Andy Sweeney.
That would be like, I don't know, I hate bacon. I don't know, what would be
well, bacon isn't kosher.
Since when do you care about that?
I love bacon cheeseburgers.
And James Strebel.
I just love him go, bacon's not kosher, and then the next breath, I love bacon cheeseburgers.
Who doesn't?
On ESPN 680 and 105.7.
Couple different reminders. Bellarmine basketball tonight, 6:15. Hang out with Doug Ormay and Mark Bug right here, ESPN 680, 105.7 ESPN, Louisville.com. And you've heard the promos last couple days. Kentucky and Kansas will have the Kentucky Fish and Wildlife postgame show about 10 o'clock or so. It's Jason Entz, Mike 1, Strebel, Mike 2. You can catch that right here. First place to take your calls, text, and much more. Hear from John Calipari.
All the reactions.
If JMI decides to let us play that.
I love they put it up for us. Yeah, it'd be really nice of them.
You can hear the emperor talk for 6 minutes after a big game. So you'll, be able to do that
unless
Saturday
they win,
night.
Like
unless they
minutes.
Win. He'll be very swaggy.
Yes.
Very swaggy. Well, we're going to switch things up. We're doing the blitz, but we're going to lead still with Louisville. But our good friend Jeff Greer. It's been a while. Greer, how are you, good man? What's up?
I'm great. How are you guys?
Well, I mean, Floyd Street's finest. You got the newsletter. You got the podcast. Obviously, we work with you on the racing in the Lou City side. Get your tickets now. You've heard those promos.
Yeah.
He's a very, very busy man. When you were giving your impassioned speech about Kenny Payne, it felt like to you, right, that Jack Grossman wanted to push you out of the way so he could get his opinion out there, especially since he's no longer on AM radio?
Yeah.
Yeah, Jack is constantly itching for the opportunity to talk for 7 minutes. That is his. That's Jack's entire life. He is very much a guy who he would prefer to be the only one talking. But no, he's gracious enough to let me talk a little bit on my own podcast.
Okay, and I mean, listen, I mean, you're not writing full time, like you were back at the Athletic or the CJ, and you know, I mean, you threw your opinion out there, and it's, I mean, you know, it's obviously some people, you know, have had similar opinions or agree with you. I tend to be one of those. I don't know, what's the reaction been since you said, hey, this isn't good enough, and at the end of the year, they're going to have to take a close look at all this nonsense.
I mean, it's been really weird because I've gotten a lot of people asking, like, I didn't know that you still existed, which is always entertaining. But in all seriousness, guys, I mean, and you know what this is like too, when you find something that you feel like is, you can speak on it, with gusto. It felt like I tapped into a vein for a lot of people. And as you said, it's kind of there's been a few different clips, but the 1 2-minute clip, I feel like just kind of tapped into the energy and the frustration that a lot of people have had. And it's not a simple situation. It's not an easy situation. I don't know that there's a super easy solution to just click a button and that's what you do. But I certainly feel like for the most part, it has been either the usual stuff. What do you know? You've never played basketball before at the Division I level, which how many people do you know who have? That's a very small number. and absolutely does nothing for me. And second of all, the much larger reaction is, yeah, that's pretty much where I'm at. So that's been my biggest takeaway.
Well, big picture, we'll get to some more items, I guess, but and last night, I tell you what, let's do the bigger items now, and then we can talk a little bit about last night and everything else. What is fair?
Do we have to, Andy?
Well, no, we don't have to. I guess what is fair criticism of the tenure thus far, do you believe, with Kenny Payne? Whether that be on the floor, off the floor, I know the IARP hanging over his head, the different things, the way Chris Mack left the program, all the nuances there. Well, what are the things that are valid, even from KP defenders, they have to say, hey, this should have been done different?
Man, that's tough. I think the messaging at the beginning hit a lot of the right notes. I thought, I obviously working in PR and being a former journalist and thinking about optics and messaging a lot, I think he hit all the right notes early on. But it has not felt like he ever really turned the corner. So it still feels like we're talking about effort and playing for a reason and a cause. And you know, maybe that's the long-term recruiting message that he wants to get across, is playing for the tradition that is Louisville basketball and what this program means, obviously, to this city and the U of L community. But I wrote about this, like, the messaging of what they're trying to do from a basketball standpoint just isn't there. I don't think anyone can sit down and say, this is what Kenny Payne's basketball team is trying to do. Because I feel like that would make it a lot easier for us to understand, outside of the turnovers or silly decisions or effort, where are your guys going wrong for you? And I don't think that is very clear at all. So I think there's that. I think, he was supposed to be a coach who was able to motivate guys. And it's early on in the season, I think a lot of people were concerned about effort. So that's a fair critique. But that's also on his guys. And I don't want this to be lost on
You're
all
right.
of this. This is an everybody problem. This is an everybody problem. So that's those are the two big ones.
Like, I don't know, how many guys do you think he needs next year? I mean, we're looking at a roster that's going to have 8-9 new guys. Like, I don't think that's crazy, right? Like, you can't tell me,
Andy,
not you,
Andy,
but all these.
Andy,
yeah, go ahead.
Andy, Louisville is 2-18. They are 2-18. They are 0-9 in the ACC. You have to overhaul your roster.
Yeah.
I mean,
and
keep
staff.
A couple of them.
Yeah. Well, I mean, and here's what I do. I try to listen. There are still people that are obviously out there that are big time KP defenders. So I'm like, well, you can't blame all the players and then also not and want some of these guys back. Like if any of these players come back, you can't say, well, it's on these players. I've seen a couple different coaches not like these players. I'm like, well, you brought them back. OK, in this next year, I think basketball wise, it's something that we're not talking enough about him playing to strengths. About what kind of plan do we have here? And quite frankly, I mean, I think a lot of, it's not like the development has been there with a large part of the roster. That's just not the case. When they get up and give a lead away like last night, what do you make of those games when they have the lead and they still lose by double figures? We've seen that so many times this season.
Yeah, I think we know that the roster just wasn't constructed very well, and part of that was because of the misses in the recruiting trail and the transfer portal. And I think the lack of any, the lack of helpful ball handlers to help L. Ellis has really hurt. I think Mike James has done a nice job developing, but he's more of a wing type than he is a guard, a guard who can help as a creator. He's more of a scorer and a rebounder. And so the lack of that opens you up to have the ball in people's hands. That's likely to lead to some turnovers. There are some pretty bad decisions just last night of guys thinking, you know what, I'm going to try to break down this guard off the bounce, in situations where it didn't. You didn't need to do that. You didn't need to try to go 1v1 with a guy who's 5 inches shorter than you, who can pick your pocket. I like the attitude of thinking you can go do something, create something, but I think it's just developing an atmosphere where guys trust decisions, but they also are making good decisions because there's. It's a real problem to believe in what you're doing if you're doing the wrong thing. As I'm watching these games, it's hard to not just think, you know, at some point, when is this going to break for the other team? The other thing I would just say real quick is, as we all know, sports, a lot of it, I know coaches hate this. Sports is so much of your success is built around confidence. And if you don't know how to win a game, if you've forgotten how to win games or you just haven't experienced it in a while, you get in those moments and they're unfamiliar. And so Louisville just has not built itself this season up into a spot where they say, okay, 2 minutes left, we're down three or we're up three, and we know exactly what to do to close this game out or come back and win it. They're just not, they just haven't been able to figure out how to get over that hump and start learning those late game moments where they take care of the ball and they defend everybody on the same page. That's a huge, huge problem for them.
Last one for Jeff Greer quickly. If I set the over-under at a half or 1.5, what should the over-under be for wins the rest of the way for U of L? Because that's what it is, right? I mean, that's what it is. Yeah. After these next three games, after last night and these next three games, I mean, let's be honest. Go look at the schedule. Duke, a couple times with Virginia. I mean, there are going to be loss after loss after loss. Pittsburgh on the road. All of those are going to be losses.
Yeah, no question. It's funny you ask that because I just recorded my podcast with Kent Spencer today, and I gave him 4.5 as the over-under for season
one. Oh, nice.
Total.
Oh, I go under. That's easy.
I would go under. I would go under, but you know, for the sake of Louisville fans, and again, I do really like Kenny Payne, and I think he's a good dude. I know we always joke about that as like, why do we feel the need to say it? I feel bad that I'm kind of ragging on him. For their sake, I hope they get over 1.5 for the rest of the season and wins. But it's going to be a tough, tough sledding the rest of the way.
Jeff, appreciate the time, man. We'll catch up. Thank you so much. Appreciate it.
All right. Thanks, Danny. Appreciate you.
Oh, Avery. Oh, Avery's going to be so upset
now.
She's going to be so upset.
Yeah.
Do we have Cam Drummond? Kentucky.
Kentucky.
Give us a Kentucky, Strieble. Go ahead.
Kentucky.
There we go. We go to Kentucky. We follow. Who's following the Wildcats? Cam Drummond joins us. Lexington Herald leader. Cam, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, gentlemen. I was told at the top to ask Strieble his thoughts on the Martha the Mop Lady video, so I just want to toss it out there and see what happens.
Martha,
they're the worst, Cam. They're the worst.
Martha the Mop Lady. Well, right now, me and Jack Grossman got Strieble running a little bit on this TJD's having a better year than Oscar type thing.
It doesn't matter.
He's a dominant guy.
Yeah,
TJD.
Oscar's pretty dominant, too.
That's what we're doing. That's he affects the game more.
Yeah.
That's what's going on behind the scenes, just so you know.
I get Andy and Jack. About
at 8 a.m.
I'm trying to talk a little. Try to talk a little,
little social studies.
Yeah, little
science.
Y'all do a little science. Y'all do a little thermal energy, and I got TJD. Mid-O can't jump this high. That's what I get, Cam.
People call. Go ahead.
I'm glad everyone's filling their roles correctly with Strieble educating the future of this country and running his Indiana agenda down everyone's throat. Everyone's
quite basically. His propaganda is IE propaganda.
It is. It's total propaganda. Chronic Hoosier. Anyway, Cam, you would agree right now Kentucky is on a roll, are they not?
Yeah, I think there's obviously questions to be asked about how sustainable this is. I think, you know, this Saturday will be a pretty good litmus test. Maybe not against the best opposition, given what Kansas has been the last couple games, although those were against really good ranked teams. But the consistency that Kentucky's shown over the last four games, and in particular what they were able to do Tuesday night in Nashville, I mean, I'm not saying that Vanderbilt's necessarily anything to write home about, especially with Liam Robbins out. But that was a team win. That was a stress-free Kentucky basketball win. win. There has not been a ton of those this season. Mm-hmm. This was a win where Oscar Tshiebwe didn't necessarily have to go nuclear, had a very, you know, replicable 15 and 13. I think they had five guys in double figures. You know, you got a little Antonio Reeves scoring the ball. CJ Frederick had some good moments from behind the arc, Jacob Toppin with another double-double. So, yeah, I mean, especially when you consider how bad things were and just the vibes around the program only, what, two and a half weeks ago after that South Carolina game at home, for things to turn around so fast in terms of momentum, in terms of stabilizing the season and getting on course, you know, to projected to be back in the NCAA tournament field, albeit, you know, slightly back in the field in such short order. You know, things probably can't be going too much better for John Calipari and those in Big Blue Nation right now.
Well, I apologize if you have penned this or somebody has and I just have not seen it, and I would have been innocent in saying I missed it. But, I mean, to me, Kentucky basketball had a players-only meeting, and seemingly it actually worked, Cam.
Which is amazing.
It actually, I mean, honestly, it worked. That works like 5% of the time, maybe.
Yeah.
Right? It's a desperation move, and maybe it kind of worked. They had one. They've won four in a row.
Yeah, and I'll direct people to Kentucky.com/sports. I think Ben Roberts has done a couple things, both, you know, discussing the meeting after some recent wins and also just going into the meeting specifically. I think he was mentioned on our podcast, John Clay, also, that's previewing the Kansas game, which is also online. But yeah, the players only meeting that you're referencing, I mean, everyone has kind of pinpointed that South Carolina home loss as the final straw, right? As the crisis point that Kentucky decided to dig their heels in and said they were going to change the way things were done. I mean, John Calipari has been pretty open in calling it a crisis and saying that, you know, change only comes when a crisis occurs. And in this players only meeting, I think a couple of the other staff members were in on it. I think Orlando Antigua was in there. I think Chin Coleman was in there as well, but Coach Cal wasn't. But this was, you know, kind of a heart-to-heart come to Jesus moment where you had players taking accountability themselves, calling on other players to provide what they needed to do to have a successful team. So some hard truths were set in whatever room inside the Kraft Center or Memorial Coliseum where things were discussed, and we've seen Kentucky obviously play, you know, significantly better as a team since then. Cal's on his little superstitious streak right now of having the team staying in hotels before games, taking away phones mm-hmm. and access to the internet nights before games, so no one's, you know, going on social media, you know,
you might as well
bonding together, that kind of stuff. Yeah.
Yeah, you might as well.
Something.
If it's working, you might as. I mean, Strieble hasn't changed underwear in 3 weeks. Okay, 2 weeks they've been. I mean, he's had the same thing. Oh, he stinks. He stinks.
Well, you know,
before I ask the next question, hang on. We have a tragic moment right now.
Yeah.
Hang on. Brian Blank from the Kentucky Fish and Wildlife. He has brought us.
Yeah.
A Miller Lite, and we thank him.
You're a nice man.
Strieble's doing dry January, Brian.
Yeah,
Look at his face
I know,
right
I'm
now.
I'm sorry, Brian. I'll take this home and save it,
or someone else can have it. Maybe I'll drink it.
Yeah, drink it. There you go.
No, I'll drink a bowl.
There you go. I appreciate it.
Anyway,
a Coke would be great. Thank you.
Cam Drummond's with us. Cam, Strieble's doing dry January. That's what he's doing right now. He had a beer gifted to him. Yeah.
I was going to say, I don't think you're missing out on too much by not having the Miller Lite. I think you can just plant tap water or something there, and you'll get the same desired effect.
Oh, wow, Cam. Look at that.
Wow.
Look at that hot take flying in here with an attack on domestic beer. My God, on a Thursday. Okay,
Budweiser.
Savir.
Go Budweiser, everyone.
There you go.
Dan Issel on the radio.
So Savir Wheeler, he doesn't play. You know, I mean, there's everything. Then he comes out, plays 23 minutes. It's Vanderbilt. A lot of this is, they're leading by double figures. They're going to win the game. 4 points, five rebounds. And Cal has made this a big thing. He gave him a kiss. The players are standing up for Wheeler. We know they love Wheeler, but it's also obvious he is now coming off the bench and his minutes are going to be game to game. Is that fair? And what do you make of the last few weeks? And I guess even the other night against Vanderbilt with Savir Wheeler playing and playing better than he has.
Yeah, and I will say when you look at that Vanderbilt game as well, Wheeler played an important role there in the first opening minutes of the game just because Cason Wallace wasn't playing with the necessary pace or intensity necessarily on offense, and Cal was pretty quick to give him the hook and get Wheeler in the game. And I know Kentucky didn't exactly create separation from Vanderbilt until later in that first half, but that's still an important moment where you can have an experienced guy on the bench who, you know, at times in sticky situations maybe knows, you know, a bit better than a freshman who's still kind of learning all this stuff as he goes, or, you know, when when to push or pull or what Cal's looking for in certain situations with running the offense. So moments like that are still viable to have Xavier Wheeler around, right, as someone who can, even if he's not doing it directly, coach on the bench, offer a helping hand to a Cason Wallace. But something that is important, clouded within all the postgame comments that John Calipari gave about lifting up Xavier Wheeler and how much everyone loves him, is the fact that John Calipari was also pretty direct while saying, about saying he's going to be coming off the bench, right?
Yep.
He didn't sugarcoat. Yep. He didn't leave the door open for a return of the starting lineup. I think this is the way, at least as long as it continues to work and be so effective, that Kentucky's going to roll for now, for the rest of the season or the foreseeable future. And I think it's a value to have Xavier Wheeler in this position compared to a younger player or someone who, maybe doesn't have that experience, maybe doesn't have that kind of basketball maturity. I mean, I was talking about this on another podcast the other day where, Xavier Wheeler had to play under Tom Crean in Georgia, right? So he's probably seen some chaotic stuff in his day. He's gone through a transfer from Georgia to Kentucky. He's learned different offenses. He's had to acclimate to a variety of different teammates, both in Lexington and from Athens to Lexington. So this guy's pretty, malleable in terms of what he's been, his basketball experience at this high major level. So if anyone has to kind of take that seat down, try and find a way to readapt and get into a different role on this Kentucky team, I think he's probably, your best choice to have that compared to anyone else.
This is it's a leading question. It's very easy, but I mean, I'm trying to remember my numbers now. Six games, Reeves has scored 101 points, and you got to go back, besides Oscar, basically, to Emmanuel Quickley. Cason Walls hasn't scored that many in a six-game stretch. Neither last year did Ty or Wheeler or anybody else. So what Reeves has done need not be forgotten. While we're talking Wheeler and Oscar gets his double-doubles, and we all love Cason being the lottery pick, and I know you obviously are in the BBN land with this, but what Antonio Reeves is doing, they also needed. He stepped up, and like, to me, he's probably a bigger deal than anything else on their roster right now.
Right, yeah, and you mentioned just kind of the turnaround that Kentucky's had ever since that player-led meeting and this four-game winning streak. And the main crux of all this is that guys are playing to their strengths, to their roles better, right? Jacob Toppin's in there rebounding and scoring to what he can do alongside Oscar Tshiebwe. Cason Wallace is providing the head of the snake, at point guard. T.J. Frederick is making shots from the outside. And Antonio Reeves is a perfect example of someone who's playing their role to maximum effectiveness right now, a guy whose goal was to come in and score, whether that's three-pointers, whether that's that float game he's shown, last couple games driving into the lane, whether that's attacking closeouts and making the right pass, maybe not dancing with the ball too long. He's someone who was brought in to score the ball, play enough, passable defending, move the ball along as it is, but first and foremost, he was in to score points. And that's what he's done the last four games, and I don't think it's, a surprise or a secret that when he has been effective scoring the ball, things have gone really well for Kentucky on offense.
All right, last one for Cam Drummond. I mean, Kansas comes into town. We know what happened last year. Kansas still 10 in the net, but just 5 days ago, they were 4 in the net, 3 straight losses. I mean, Bill Self, say he doesn't lose 4 in a row. Hell, when's the last time he lost 3 in a row?
Right.
And so this is obviously a big game, quad one opportunity for Kentucky. It's a big game for them. Kansas trying to, get back going. What do you make of this matchup in the game on Saturday?
Yeah, I mean, it's funny. I've been thinking about it. It almost feels like the Governor's Cup matchup the last couple football seasons, right? I mean, one team is coming in with all the momentum. One team is coming in with absolutely no momentum. Does that equalize talent? How do things shake out? I think Kansas, if Kentucky continues playing and has this kind of balance team production like they've had the last couple games, and especially against Vanderbilt, I think this is a matchup that looks pretty good for Kentucky, not the least of which is because Oscar Tshiebwe should be able to have an absolute field day rebounding the ball. If Jacob Toppin remains active and energetic, he should be able to have a field day rebounding the ball. I think Kansas is like 201st in the country in defensive rebounding. I think they're in the low 100s in terms of offensive rebounding. So Kentucky should have a significant advantage and needs to have a significant advantage on the glass, maybe getting 10, 15 more shot attempts than Kansas at stretches to maybe make up for any kind of offensive lapse there. Kentucky's defense has been pretty good of late. I mean, I know it's Vanderbilt, but holding them under 55 points. Kentucky never loses under John Calipari when they do that. Obviously, Kansas has its talented players that will get some. But Grady Dick in particular particular has been super impressive mm-hmm. this year. A guy I didn't think was going to be, you know, that high of a draft pick is probably going to go in the lottery now. But Kentucky's got a size advantage, especially down low. So I like that matchup for them. You know, obviously big stage. We haven't seen Kentucky, you know, really rise to a big stage occasion aside from that Tennessee game. So this is something where there's a little bit more expectation on them. And anytime there's been expectation on Kentucky this year in a big game, they haven't shown up. So this is a real, you know, strap in with your seat belts and put your big boy pants on and see how you do on the final game, I guess, of the SEC Big 12 Challenge.
It's a midterm.
Well, Yeah. That's the other thing here as well is, beyond it being a quad one game, which Kentucky still needs quad one wins to pad its resume, this is also probably a big eye test game, right, for people on that selection committee who remember Kentucky getting blown out against Gonzaga, not looking good against UCLA, getting blown out at Alabama. So a lot of eyeballs, a lot of national attention. Even if they don't win it, I think Kentucky needs to have a good performance, you know, keep this a single-digit game. They get run off the court by 25, 30 points, and all of a sudden all the goodwill from the last 2 weeks falls apart pretty fast.
Cam Drummond, Lexington Herald leader, following the Kentucky Wildcats. Cam, appreciate the time, man. Take care.
All right. Y'all be good now.
Thank you.
Indiana.
Zach Osterman, Indianapolis Star, joins us next. Zach, good afternoon, sir. How are you, man?
Well, I'm good. Just trying to get to the mute button in time. Sorry.
Oh, no, hey, listen, it's totally fine. Yeah. We're out here staring at boats and RVs right now.
We are.
Things that we'll never be able to afford in the radio business, so we're set. I mean, you can't trade one of those out, you know?
No, no,
you're not
going
to be able to do that. Okay, so four wins in a row. I thought before last night Indiana was playing as good as just about anyone in the country. Minnesota, close game last night. Did you foresee a close game last night? Either way, Indiana, a four-point win, and now four wins in a row.
I don't know if I foresaw a close game. I definitely foresaw a weird game. You know, Minnesota's leading scorer was out. So you know Minnesota's going to have to rip up its game plan and do something, you know, kind of weird, something they probably hadn't put on film a ton. And then, obviously, Indiana was without a head coach because Mike Woodson was recovering from COVID. So I guess I expected a weird game, and I think that's kind of what Indiana got. I don't know that they dealt with the strangeness of it that well, especially in the first half, though it's not like the second was a
right.
ringing endorsement of that team's performance. But I'll also say that I've been on this beat long enough to know, you know, you're allowed a game like that every once in a while, especially on the road. You fire, you forget. As long as it doesn't become a trend, and to your point about the way Indiana's been playing and the games leading up to Minnesota, it doesn't seem, you know, that doesn't seem likely just based on what we've seen so, you know, from this team the last 2 weeks. You're just kind of allowed to scrub it and move on, but obviously, you know, don't make it a habit.
Why the turnaround the last four games? And I'll count Minnesota. You go on the road. You don't play your best. You have a couple of your other players. TJD, I want to get to him. He plays great. Why the turnaround when it seemed so? Seemed like Indiana was so sickly, much like Kentucky, and both of them, Zach, have turned things around here in the last 2 weeks.
Yeah, I think there's a couple things. I think, you know, you can, to some extent, you can remove that Penn State game as its own sort of separate thing. And they played very poorly, and they got sort of what they deserved for playing the way they played. And that happens every once in a while. You know, it's kind of easy to forget the Northwestern game and the Iowa game were very close. They lost those two games by a combined 3 points. The Northwestern final score a little bit goosed by that Trey Galloway half-court three as time expired, but still. You watched those games, and if you felt like if Indiana could just find its defensive toughness again, it could give itself a chance to sort of rebuild the platform for this season. And I think the sequence of those, to be fair to people who are skeptical of Indiana, made that hard to buy into because it was, you know, close loss on the road, close loss at home, total sort of, you know, bottoming out on the road. I think the Wisconsin game probably came up at a good time for them in terms of matchups and just where Wisconsin's at right now. It helped them get right a little bit. I think, you know, if this season does kind of stay on a positive track, and I'm not saying Final Four, but I'm just saying a good, solid, successful season, I think we'll look back on that Wisconsin game in a variety of ways. It's a really important one for this team. But I also, you know, I was one of a number of people who said, listen, the three-game losing streak at the beginning of January doesn't define your season unless you let it. I've seen plenty of teams lose three in a row. and still play deep into March. And I think that what this team found was, again, number one, it's defensive identity a little bit again. Number two, Trace Jackson Davis. It's not just the points and rebounds, it's the blocks, it's the assists. It's the extent to which, if you go back and watch the film of some of these games, Indiana is playing through him and just letting everything revolve around him at both ends of the floor. It's the comfort level that I think we've seen some role players sort of gain with larger roles, a Jordan Geronimo, a Trey Galloway, a Tamar Bates. And, you know, it builds on itself. And, yes, you'll have a night like last night where a lot of guys struggled. Indiana's second-leading scorer was Miller Coffey, only had 11 points. But the defining factor is keep winning. And I think that if Indiana can – you know, keep this win streak up even for just like another week and a half, something like that, then you're allowed to just sort of say, look, it's not always going to be pretty, but we're building the right habits. And I think that's kind of where Indiana is at the moment.
Well, Zach, I mean, I loved him having 11 and a half points. His over-under was 5.5, so it's not like, you know, I took that and that was feeling good in the first half. So, and by the way, those TJD rebounds continue to cash.
So
people want to know, there's some free gambling, degenerate gambling advice here on a Thursday. Quickly, two more before we get you out of here. You mentioned TJD. I mean, we know he's a star. I mean, we know he had some injury issues the last three, maybe four games, but I guess really the last three games. You mentioned, I mean, we're talking 14 blocks in the last three games, 11 assists, 35, 31, 25, and 21 last night. I mean, the guy's been ridiculous. Is this the best basketball he has played? And I don't know what's going on here. You mentioned they're running the game through him. What, if anything, is different? He's been so good the last 2 weeks.
Yeah, I mean, it's not a short answer. The first thing I would say is I don't think it's just the best basketball he's played. I think it's probably the best sustained stretch of basketball I've seen an Indiana player put on the floor. And, I mean, wow. I've been around this program for maybe 15 years, and I've seen obviously some – I wasn't around for, you know, a lot of the Bob Knight greats, obviously, but I have seen some pretty talented players. And, I mean, he's up there at this point with Victor Oladipo, with Yogi Ferrell, with Cody Zeller, with Eric Gordon and DJ White. And he's frankly ahead of them in some ways. You're talking about a guy that's leading the Big Ten in conference games alone in defensive rebounding percentage. He's leading the Big Ten comfortably in blocks and block rate both. He still has, and this was after I think he only had two assists in the Minnesota game, he still has a higher assist rate in conference games right now through nine games than Yogi Ferrell had in 18 Big Ten games in 2016 when he led Indiana to the Big Ten title. And that was Indiana's point guard. Wow. That was an All-American point guard who had a lower assist rate than what Trace Jackson Davis has right now. And again, if you go back and watch film of some of these games, I mean, like, go watch just, like, 10 minutes of the Michigan State game. The number of times Indiana comes down the floor and really doesn't run a play, they basically just feed Jackson Davis a post entry and then make Michigan State make a decision. Are you going to double? Are you going to trap? Are you going to dig? Well, it's, you know, we're prepared for every possibility because we got a big man that can beat anybody you cover him with one-on-one. He can pass out of virtually any double team. He'll turn the ball over a couple times, but he'll probably create more baskets than he gives up. And he's also going to score and rebound like an All-American. I have not.
It's unbelievable.
I recognize that people like me can start to sort of sound like we are, you know, speaking in a doe-eyed way about people like this, but I really have not seen somebody. Then you reverse it and go to the other end of the floor where you can make a strong case for him to beat Big Ten Defensive Player of the Year halfway through the season. I haven't seen somebody have this kind of two-way impact on the game for Indiana. I just haven't.
Yeah, it reminds me a lot of Oscar Tshiebwe last year, seeing him be a Superman. And, you know, Indiana right now, TJD is very much being that. We're up against it. I was just going to ask you, I mean, the next four, for people that don't know, Ohio State, Maryland, Purdue, Rutgers. One of those on the road. So three, again, big-time opportunities. Indiana, 11 games left, 9 are quad 1, a 1 quad 2, and 1 quad 3. So Indiana could be a bubble team or, you know, they could be a 2 seed at the end of all this. With all the quality teams there in the Big Ten. Zach, appreciate the time, my man. Take care. We'll catch up next week. Thank you.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me, as always.
All right, there we go. A little blitz on a Thursday.
That's a good blitz.
The Avery Dill on a Thursday, hanging out, running the blitz.
Good information there. Avery did a good job. Yeah.
Everything's good. On the other end.
In my defense, you did mess me up when you said Louisville. I had the Louisville button ready, and then you said Louisville.
Oh, yeah, we don't do one on the front end. We usually do the Kentucky one.
Indiana.
It doesn't matter.
It's okay. It still went off without a hitch.
It doesn't matter. Good. Well, I had a hitch, but it doesn't matter.
Yeah,
the hitch doesn't matter.
Yeah, the content was there. Matter. That's the thing that mattered the
most. Our content was there.
Yeah.
Let's take a break. 437-9680 on the other end. Dan Issel tells a love story. We dissect it next.
Time now for The Take with Andy Sweeney.
I need to catch Strebel up on some Kiki, by the way.
Yeah, it's been a while. It has been a while.
Her and Jessica had a little shoot.
Oh, they did. They're like wearing
a bodysuit.
I don't know if I'm a big fan of the bodysuit.
You're not a fan of the bodysuit.
It's okay. Jessica's is better than Kiki's. I'll just put it that way.
And James Strebel.
Hers is a little bit more bombastic, if you know what
bombastic.
I mean. A little bombastic in the upper portion, which is always good.
On ESPN 680 and 105.7.
That is an old one.
Oldie, yeah. Bombastic. That's a good word. Let's use that more often.
437-9680, UPS Jobs Text Line, Mobile Liquor Barn Studio. Avery's back at the Liquor Barn Studio.
She is.
We are on the road today for the Take on ESPN Louisville. We are hanging out at the Louisville Boat RV and Sports Show, and we're here courtesy of our good friends at Kentucky Fish and Wildlife. A couple different reminders. Find them online today. FW.KY.gov. You can download the fishing forecast there. A lot of urban fishing areas are plentiful right now. So go on and get out there. And a reminder as well, the elk draw, you need to be in on the elk draw by April 30th, okay? And you can do all of that. Check out everything they have to offer Kentucky Fish and Wildlife. Plus, come down here to the show. And they have a booth here. That's where we are.
Yeah.
Exclusive gear, t-shirts, caps. Purchase your hunting, fishing license, and again, join the Kentucky Wild, enter the elk draw. I don't know exactly what you do. I guess you have to put your name in.
Yeah.
I listened to Dina this morning, but I can't remember what he said. They talked about it.
Put in a big drum and turn it around and then pick a name out. There you go.
You ready to talk Issel?
I'm ready to listen to Issel's love story, yes.
I haven't even heard all this.
I can't wait.
I have not heard all this. Avery, do you have anything you want to say before we play some of the sound? Do you have the sound, by the way?
I do, and I have the full story.
You have the... Okay, so what are we playing here? Because James cut a bunch of stuff. I don't know what you cut. What do we have?
Yeah.
I just want to play whatever we have here. A little reprieve, if you will, from the Louisville basketball
yes,
stuff.
Yes, please. Something.
Okay, so basically... It's like Dan, he went ahead and somehow we got on how he met Sherry.
How he was
the basketball star, she was the cheerleader.
Of course.
Very, very stereotypical.
Very.
Yes.
Love it. And then, he wanted to go out with her for a while, but she was dating this guy. And so
He's a high school sweetheart, right?
Yeah. So she kept saying no. And then eventually, after one of their games down in Georgia, she's just like, okay, yeah, he can bring me home after the game when we get back.
Take her home.
Some opinions for him.
Okay, so what do we have here? Is it one clip? Is it several clips? What do we have? What do I need to know? Do you just want to start playing things? Whatever you want to do here.
Okay, so I have the full story all in one, and then I've got 7 individual clips, which I'm guessing is just breaking up the whole thing.
Yeah. Well, how long's the story by itself? Just a couple minutes?
6 minutes.
Oh!
Whoa, 6 minutes. I don't know if we need six-minute sound. It's a long story.
That's a long story.
Yeah. I think it's right to the break almost.
But I don't know. I mean, what else?
I don't mind listening to 6 minutes of Dennis telling how he met Sherry.
I'm fine with playing 6 minutes and then maybe we stop somewhere.
We break in.
You want to break in,
sure.
Avery? I can get you to stop. Or if you have something to interject, we can stop. I mean, 6 minutes is a long story.
Yeah, it is.
Let's play.
I'm pretty sure I'm in here yelling at him in the process.
Yelling at him?
Well, I told you I have opinions
okay.
on this.
All right.
So here's
wait.
The thing. We've done a lot of Issel Sound at 5:30. I don't want to keep doing that.
Right, right. It's
okay,
like
I want to give some of the goods to other people that might
audience.
Be listening at 4:45,
sure.
for instance. Okay?
Yeah, 6:45. Yeah.
Yeah.
I gotcha. You
understand what I'm saying.
I do, yeah.
I want to mix it up a little bit here.
Spread the Issel around.
Spread the love.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, literally, apparently.
Yeah, the love. The real love. All right.
I don't like that Issel had to work for love. That's the difference.
He had asked multiple times.
Shame on BBN.
Yeah.
Shame on you.
Me, I was alive.
Shame on Adolph Rupp.
He was alive. I'll
shame
take...
on Tim Striebel.
Okay. He was like 12.
Well, like I said, shame on him.
Yeah.
Shame, shame, shame. I guess let's play yours, Avery. And we'll just do what we do.
All right, let's go.
We'll interject somewhere. So go ahead. This is a love story.
Have I ever told you this story? Nobody wants to hear this. Never mind.
Tell the story. Come on. What are you doing?
I was dating a girl. I was trying to get a date with Sherry.
Okay.
And she just would not go out with me. She had her high school. I mean, I fell in love with Sherry my sophomore year when I first saw her cheering on the sideline.
Oh, man.
But I tried and tried, and she had a high school boyfriend, and she wouldn't go out with me. And so I was dating another girl,
pause
and we
it real
came
quick.
Back.
I just got to interject. The girl that has the high school sweetheart in college, given that it lasted a sophomore year, is luck. Okay?
Oh, absolutely.
That
luck.
Is luck.
Yes.
It's ridiculous.
You're a UK cheerleader.
It's going to end up in heartbreak.
Absolutely.
Avery, continue the story.
Okay.
I was dating another girl, and we came back. We played in Georgia, and we won the game in Georgia, and that clinched the SEC for us.
Nice.
And so I got there was a guy that lived across the hall from me in the dorm, and he was a cheerleader as well, and he was my conduit. He was the guy that I always tried to get him to get Sherry to go out with me, and so. So the cheerleaders flew to Georgia, separate planes, but they flew to Georgia. And so Tom comes in the locker room and says, Sherry said you can give her a ride home when we get back to the airport. And so they landed first, and there were like 1,000 people out at the Lexington airport, maybe even more.
Yeah.
And this girl I was dating, I come down the steps. And this girl that I was dating comes up and plants one on me.
Oh, no.
And Sherry's standing there watching. And so she bolts for the terminal. This was all on the tarmac. She bolts for the terminal to call her dad to come and pick her up. So I tell the girl I'm dating, I got to go around and get my bag on the other side of the airplane. I'll be right back. And I also bolted for the terminal and talked Sherry into letting me drive her home.
Whoa.
And so that was 1968. That was the last time I dated another girl.
All right. Can I ask a question?
Hang on. They're getting to it.
They're getting to what happened to the girl that he kissed him.
I believe Issel left a girl on the tarmac.
Her on the tarmac.
I believe that's exactly what
happened. Oh, boy.
Yes, and I start yelling at him. All
right, let's go.
Let's
keep going.
Dated another girl.
Yeah, comfortable.
I want to just clarify one thing.
Yes.
You left your current girlfriend at the airport is what you're saying out loud, yes?
Yeah.
Okay.
Did you ever properly break up with her?
I know.
Yeah. I told her I had to go get my bag. I was properly breaking up with her.
To this day,
I have told Sherry, honey, I don't know who that was. It's just a fan that was excited about us winning the game.
Dan! No!
Oh, my God.
That's not what you do! No!
Whoa!
Hey, I had put a lot of time and effort to get this date with Sherry. I wasn't going to let that fall through the cracks.
I literally...
You properly break up with the girl you're dating.
I just stood up and applauded. I got out of my chair in the studio to applaud the fact that Sherry still doesn't know that story.
Do you... I mean, she knows. She saw the girl plant one on me.
By the way, that's just a power move.
It really is.
What?
That was a power move.
Oh, yeah.
You get the kiss from the girlfriend. The girl runs off. She's all distraught. And then you chase down the girl. Oh, yeah. It's all power moves. Yeah, it's all power moves. Yeah. You ditch the girl at the airport. I had to go get my bag.
You know, Avery, when I didn't come back, she probably knew the relationship was over.
She probably figured it out.
But, like, at least say something. Don't just say, hey, I'm going to go get my bag, and then run after some other girl.
That's how it happened.
That's not how that works.
That's how it happened. That's the only dating story I have.
That's so much worse than just saying, hey, I think we should break up.
On the tarmac.
I didn't have time.
Someone suggesting on the text line your CB name could have been Busted Grill.
Oh, what? Because I didn't have any teeth.
Yeah.
That's
pretty good.
I like Big 44.
Yeah. No, a lot of people like Big 44. A lot of people like that story, too.
Yeah. Come on back. Come on back, Big 44.
Go get my bag. You know what? You're getting a lot. You're actually getting a lot of. Wow. Okay. Here come the texts. Holy moly.
I'm praising Issel here.
Issel, world class player on and off the court. Best story Dan's ever told. Don't ever say Big 44 doesn't have a story. There it is. There it is, man. Oh, the text line, dude. I'm getting one personal bat phone, too, that you're 100% and you're right because you got what you knew what you wanted and you got what you wanted. So,
right.
When I met my wife, she was dating someone else. Same situation. So, no, I get it. My future. And at the time,
I've never.
Future,
so. That would have been.
Is there any way for us to track down the woman that you left at the airport to have her on the show?
I have no idea. I doubt it. You'd probably need a
get
name.
Get on a referral.
Well, you know what?
Well, I don't. I don't recognize. I know the first name. I don't remember the second name. It was 54 years ago. 55 years ago.
Hey, you leave this girl at the airport to get your bag and run after this other girl, and you can't remember her full name?
No, I can remember her first name. I don't remember her second name.
Oh, my God.
Dan!
It was 55 years ago.
The story has everything. I love it. Oh, this is great. Oh, man.
That night, that would have been 1968. Since that night, I have never had a date with another woman.
Wow.
1968. It's like that's like Bobby V is still living his sports fandom through those years.
Oh, yeah. The Mets and the Jets are good. Yeah, the Knicks
it's funny,
are good.
It's funny.
Yeah.
Issel's like, it was 55 years ago, and Jets and Mets fans are living everything through that time frame.
The 55-year period.
So it does mean something, and Issel knows the name.
Oh, he does, and 100%. He doesn't want anyone finding
him. Here's the thing, and I don't think it's a man thing versus a woman thing, Avery. I really don't. Mm-hmm. But I back Issel.
He's in love.
I think women diss just as much as men.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, we do, okay. But typically you deserve thing. It.
Not always.
Maybe she deserved
it. Maybe she deserved it. Yeah.
I don't know. Maybe she deserved it.
I don't know this girl. Maybe she was mean to Issel or, you know, he did.
I don't think she was mean to Issel. Or, I don't think anyone was mean to Issel back then. Adolph Rupp was only mean to Issel.
He saw love at first sight.
Yes, he did.
He was trying to get to know this girl, try to go out with this girl, and he saw his window of opportunity, and dang it, he took it. He'd been working on this forever. And look, there may have been a little collateral damage. I'm sorry. Hopefully her life ended up great. But look, Look at the love life that Issel and Sherry have shared together.
But here's the thing. You don't know you don't know that.
I don't know. I'm right. You're right. I don't know
that. You don't know how her life went.
It could have went in a totally different way.
Her life marrying Dan Issel, because back then people got married much sooner than they do now.
Absolutely. He got married in college, I believe.
That she had to be thinking, I'm marrying Dan Issel.
Right.
And
absolutely.
The things that come with that.
Oh, the perks.
Yeah, the perks
of marrying Dan Issel.
The perks of marrying Dan Issel.
Absolutely.
Exactly.
A famous basketball player, a professional basketball player, years in the NBA as a coach and executive. Yeah, there's a lot of perks that come with that. And that had to be a crushing moment where she realized, I'm not marrying Dan Issel.
Here's the other thing. Avery's too caught up on the dumped girl, okay, Avery? you're not caught up on the other side of the story. Dieter's texting us. He's right about Issel being a hopeless romantic. Here's the thing. You're not thinking about it from Sherry's viewpoint. That she got the basket. She got Dan Issel.
You got Dan Issel, yes. Okay.
And he does chase still her call down her, her his best friend.
Exactly.
That gives him a little bit of a redeeming point.
To chase her down a tarmac.
True love.
Public. In public. Truly romantic.
In front of thousands of people.
It's something that,
it's a movie.
That every young girl would have thought of in 1968.
Oh, yeah, it's a movie scene.
It really is.
Yes.
And she got to live that. And as Strebel said, very callously, he didn't even notice it, sometimes there's some collateral damage.
There's heartbreak, man.
And there it is.
Strebel, everybody's been, no, I've had my heart broken.
No, you haven't. No, you've been heartbreaking.
I have too.
Have you really?
Absolutely, I've been
heartbroken. Have you really?
100%, yes. I have had my heart. I've told you I've had my heart broken.
I can't
before.
Remember all your stories.
Yes, I've had been heartbroken. I've been on that end of it. Absolutely. I know. I've been there, man.
Texas says, I got to know Dan's stats for that Georgia game.
Oh, I'm sure he balled out. I'm sure Sherry was like, she's like, he probably had like 30 and 20 or something. She's like, eh, maybe I got to give this guy a shot.
Texas says, Issel was chasing his missile. Texas says, fist pump to the big guy.
Yeah, that's right. He got the girl.
I mean, Georgie probably dropped 35.
That's what I'm saying. He had a monster game, and she's like, well, you know what? This guy likes me. Maybe I'll let him give me a ride home. You know, just a little ride home from Dan the Man Issel.
How about that?
I love it. I absolutely love it. And now they're happily married, best friends, kids,
everything's
beautiful
good
life.
To go.
Everything's good to go. Absolutely.
Forrest Issel. It's Forrest and Jenny.
No, Jenny was awful.
She was awful.
Jenny was a terrible person.
Yeah, she was.
She's a terribly awful person, and she didn't.
That's
do
a July radio. Mike Greenberg is.
Oh
do
no,
this.
I agree.
What you're saying right now,
no.
While factually correct, is what Mike
That's
Greenberg will
fault.
Talk about
you read
in
the text.
June. I did.
You read the text.
I did.
You started it.
I did. That man just put a dip in. Do you want some of his
no,
dip?
No,
you
want, I'm good.
You want to put
no,
a dip
no,
in?
I can't do it.
You don't want to do that?
I'm bombing. I appreciate the offer,
sure?
Sir. Thank you very much. No,
you get a little grizzly on a Thursday?
I don't want to do that to the equipment.
Are you going to vomit it on the equipment?
I'll
away from the equipment.
I would try not to, but if it like just kind of like, meh, like it could just explode out. So I wouldn't want to do that. No.
Blank taxi. You got Lane. Yeah, she got Lane Kiffin.
Oh, yeah. Yes, yeah.
It's a Lane Kiffender.
Left her. Like Lane train left Tennessee in the middle of the night.
Lane Kiffin, remember he got fired on the tarmac.
Oh, yeah, he did it for the Raiders.
He got fired on the tarmac.
He got fired on the tarmac.
Texas says he had 31.
Of course he did. Yes, he had 30. Of course he had 31 points. They won the SEC. Yes, he was a beast.
See, back then you had to, like, commit early. Like, this will be different now. Like, there'll be no Kentucky player that's going to do that. Although, I feel like it's great odds that Reed Shepard's bringing a high school girlfriend with him.
Oh,
I feel
so.
Like I got like 50-50 odds.
Yeah, no, I think that's right.
Candace from Grayson County. Right. I don't know, wherever they're from.
C.J. Frederick got engaged this year.
Yeah, he did.
He's engaged, I think.
Whenever
a women's basketball
like freshman
player, sure
orientation, if you depending on how big of a school you go to, freshman orientation when there's the couple that's there together,
yeah.
You're like that's a tick 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 tick.
Oh yeah,
tick. Like that ain't gonna last.
Yeah, one of my college,
for both of them.
My freshman year, one of my college roommates, he had a girlfriend back in Boyle County. They were from Boyle County, and it was like, man, she's living
she was
her
hanging
life.
She's hanging out with dudes that look like Cash Daniels.
I mean. They were still together when I left, but I heard the late night phone calls.
Oh.
I knew where that was going.
Oh.
I was like, dude, you got to move on, brother. This ain't, she's there, you're here, you got to do your thing, let her do her thing.
Quick break on the other end. Rick Bozich. Rick, he joins us next on The Take on a Thursday.
Metro College is a program that helps students pay for tuition, and I didn't believe it. You have to work third shift 5 days a week. It's a great and rewarding thing when you graduate. I would do it all over again, just like I just did.
You know those buddies who magically become medical professionals when you're not at the top of your game? The ones who say,
come on, muscle through it.
But then also say,
hey, you should probably see my specialist.
Or surgery or pain meds. It's almost always false, false, and false. Athletico's physical therapists, the same therapists who work with professional athletes, can tackle those little aches and pains from the start before they become big ones. So next time, don't believe everything you hear. Instead, start with Athletico. Schedule your free assessment at athletico.com.